Starwalker Studios presents GM Intrusions, the podcast devoted to Numenera and the Strange.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of GM Intrusions, the podcast devoted to Numenera and the Strange. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. Today, I have a lot of good stuff for you. I've got some observations about the cipher system for you in Under the Lens, and I'll discuss the announcement of the new character options book for Numenera. I'll talk a little bit about the Ninth World Bestiary in Starwalker Review. This week's antagonist and protagonist features the Blood Feast Tick. I'll take a look at the Strange character types in Into the Strange, and I have some great actual play podcasts to recommend in Inspirations. There are some exciting things on the horizon for GM Intrusions. Stay tuned for the wrap-up to learn more. So grab your dice and get ready to spend some effort. It's time for a GM Intrusion.
Under the Lens, the Cipher System.
For today's Under the Lens segment, I thought I would start out by just making a couple notes of some things I've noticed in the Cipher System that might not be immediately obvious to you, especially if it's your first time running the game. First of all, when you have a player spend an XP for someone to reroll a roll, when they do the reroll, they get the original difficulty of the original roll. So this includes any effort spent. So if the PC who made the original roll spent effort on that roll, and then someone spends XP to have them re-roll it, they do not have to spend pool points again for effort, because they're re-rolling the same roll with the same target number with the effort included. Also, another note, when you do roll a 1 on your D20, that is a GM intrusion. It is not necessarily a failure, and that is totally up to the GM. It definitely could be a failure. That's definitely one type of GM intrusion and a valid GM intrusion. But as GM, you can also say that the action succeeds, especially if it's something relatively easy. But use something else for your GM intrusion. Maybe there's some kind of complication or something happens to make the characters' lives interesting. So those are my couple notes, just a couple things I've noticed in my own gameplay and listening to some gameplay sessions, some things that sometimes people get confused about. So for the rest of the Under the Lens, I thought that I would talk about the announcement that was made this week by Monte Cook Games about the character options book that is coming for Numenera. This is really exciting. So if you guys haven't heard about this or haven't checked it out yet, I will have a link to the announcement in my show notes. You can go check it out on the Monte Cook Games website and learn more, but I will give you some of the highlights right now. The first thing to note is that this is the quote, sorry if I could speak properly, this is the first quote-unquote new product for Numenera that was not part of the Kickstarter. So my understanding is that those of you that were in the Kickstarter and pledged to the point where you're getting all the books, this will be included. But this was not something that was talked about in the Kickstarter. This is something new that Monte Cook Games has decided to do. And so that's really cool. So here's a bit of the description from the website. It says, in addition to new descriptors and foci, Numenera Character Options offers new mutations, new non-human races, new esoteries, new fighting moves, and new tricks of the trade. It also introduces new kinds of descriptors, expanding the concept to include character origins and negative traits, along with new rules for customizing characters, switching descriptors and foci, and more. So that sounds really cool. I'm excited about pretty much all of this. I'm really excited to see the new mutations, really excited to see the new non-human races, the new esoteries, fighting moves, and tricks of the trade will all be very cool to see. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with these new types of descriptors. So they did give us an example of one of these new descriptors, and this is one that is a descriptor that's kind of a quote-unquote negative trait, and it's called dishonorable. There is no honor among thieves or betrayers, backstabbers, liars, cheats. You are all of these things, and you either simply don't lose any sleep over it, or you deny that it's true to others or to yourself. Either way, the truth is that you are willing to do whatever it takes to get your own way. Honor, ethics, and principles are merely words. In your estimation, they have no place in the real world. So as far as the game mechanics involved with this descriptor, you have sneaky, which gives you +4 to your speed pool. You are trained in deception. You are trained in stealth, and you are trained in intimidation. You also have an ability called Just Desserts. When the GM gives another PC an XP to award to someone for a GM intrusion, they cannot give it to you. You also have an inability. People don't like or trust you. The difficulty of pleasant social interactions is increased by one step. And like all descriptors, it includes some initial links to the starting adventure that you can choose from. Number one, you are interested in what they are doing, and so you lied to the other PCs to get into their group. Number two, while skulking about, you overheard the other PCs' plans and realized you wanted in. The third link to the adventure, one of the other PCs invited you, having no idea of what you're truly like. And finally, number four, you bullied your way in with intimidation and bluster. So the Numenera character options will be a 96-page soft cover book with an MSRP of $24.99, and it will hit the shelves in May. So there is something new to look forward to for Numenera, in addition to the other supplements that we know are coming down the pipe, like the World Guide and Sir Arthur's Guide to Numenera, or something similar to that. So really cool stuff. So definitely go to the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com/GM intrusions and check out the link to this if you haven't seen it already. Very, very cool.
Starwalker Review.
All right, you guys, I'm sure that you remember not too long ago, I had Darcy Ross on the show, and we had a nice conversation about the Ninth World Bestiary. I did not at the time have the book, so Darcy was kind enough to come on and tell us all about it. As a Numenera Kickstarter backer, she got early access to it. However, I do have the Bestiary now, and as those of you who follow me on Twitter probably know, I was very excited to get it and tweeted a very goofy picture of myself with my new Bestiary. So Darcy did a fantastic job reviewing the Bestiary for us. And I believe it was Brian Kearns had asked me if I was going to do a review of the Bestiary. And at the time I was like, well, no, because Darcy already reviewed it and she did a great job. And she totally did. But I've decided to say a few words about it just because I am so excited to finally have this book. And I'm just blown away with the Numenera product line. And a lot of kudos go out there to all the people that put a lot of hard work into this book. So for their sake and for the rest of you that may not have the book yet, I thought I would talk about it a little bit more. Again, thanks to Darcy for helping us out a couple weeks ago. I will try not to tread on any ground she already covered. So if you haven't heard the interview with Darcy, go check it out, because we talked for quite a while about the bestiary. So first of all, this is if you have the Numenera Core book, you are going to receive a book with the same level of quality and care in its construction, same quality hardcover, same quality binding, just like the core book. As Darcy was talking about, there is a very cool size comparison piece. It's on the inside of the front and back covers, and there's also a full color glossy version in the middle of the book. And wow, I really hope Monte Cook Games eventually releases either a poster or even better, a nice frameable print of this, because I would love to have a big copy of this to hang on my wall with my Numenera map and my Numenera print that I just got for Valentine's Day from my wife, who is awesome for getting me a Numenera print. But anyway, back on topic. Let's see. The art is gorgeous in this book. As we've come to expect from the Numenera product line, fantastic art. Not only is it beautiful and very well done, but it's very evocative, and these creatures are very weird and just get your imagination going just looking at their illustrations. The same high quality paper that we're used to, nice thick glossy paper. Also, just like the core book, there are plenty of entries in the margin giving you more information, as well as giving you cross-references and core book call-outs. So if you're reading about something and it mentions something that's described in detail in the core book, in the margin, it will tell you exactly what page you can find that on. And that is really awesome. And another thing about these call-outs, because they have them in the Devil's Spine as well, is I've yet to find any of these cross-references or call-outs that are in error. Like every single one I've gone after, it's on exactly the page it says it is. And I really can't imagine the logistics and headaches involved in making that work. I've seen similar things in other books, and it's very common for it to be a page or two off, but not so in the Bestiary or the core book or the Devil's Spine. The book is 160 pages long. The MSRP is $39.99. You can get it on Monte Cook Games website at montecookgames.com. They have a web store there now, if you weren't aware. So go check that out. And you can get it most likely at your local game store. I kind of have this thing every time I go to a game store, I always look to see if they have any Numenera books. And I've yet to find one that doesn't have at least a Numenera core book, which is really awesome. So a little bit more of what you'll find in here. The first chapter is called Designing Numenera Creatures. And as Darcy told us an episode, or I think it was two episodes ago, there's a lot of great information in here for UGMs out there as far as encounter balance and trying to figure out how much of a challenge a given creature will be. There are sections that talk about creature health and creature damage and creature armor, as well as how to make creatures especially dangerous to Numenera characters. And this is really cool. And it even goes into, you know, if you have this many first tier characters, this is about how much damage they can do in a round. So you can figure, just based on the creature's health and armor, kind of how long it's going to last and how long the combat is going to take, which is really, really cool. because not only is this great if you're designing your own creatures for Numenera, but it's also great if you're using a pre-made creature and maybe you want to have a nice epic battle that's going to last X amount of turns. Well, you can look at your number of characters and their tier, and you can adjust the creature's health so that that combat will last pretty much almost exactly as long as you want it to. So if you want a really, you know, quick and dirty combat, you can do that. If you want a really epic long combat, you can do that, or anywhere in between. And that is something that's really awesome. That's something I've never, I'm not going to say it hasn't been possible in other games I've played, but it was never explicitly spelled out to that degree. And I was never able to wrap my head around the system well enough to be able to gauge how long an encounter would take. So that is really cool and really fun, and a great way to maintain the pacing of your game and to make those epic battles exactly as epic as you want them to be. There's also some information on designing ecosystems of the Ninth World, which I believe Darcy mentioned. And also, I believe Darcy mentioned this as well. There's a whole section on domesticated creatures where it gives you a list of livestock animals in the Ninth World, animals that make good companions, and as well as animals that are used for mounts. And this is really, really helpful and is a lot easier than having to go through the bestiary in the core book trying to find an animal that would be a suitable mount or a suitable companion or a type of livestock that people might use. There's also a nice list of the creatures sorted by level. So if you're looking for a certain level of creature, you can find that really easily. And finally, there are quite a few encounter tables that you can use if you want to generate random encounters or just get some idea of what kind of critters might be about in a certain environment. And the environments included on the tables are ruins, mountains, woods or jungle, plains or desert, deep underground, fortress, in town, close to water, or an area where no living thing should be. And another cool one of these little encounter tables is one for an individual's mount or pet, which is so cool. I don't know if I've seen this in any of the games I've played before. So if you generate an NPC and you want to be able to quickly on the fly figure out what kind of mount or pet this character has, boom, there you go. And then finally, we have all the creatures, which there are plenty. I started just reading through the creatures one by one, and I think before I was to the letter G, because they're alphabetical, I already had quite a good sized list of creatures that I thought were really cool, creatures that I was thinking about doing antagonist and protagonist segments on, and I had only gotten to G. So just about every creature in here that I have read has just immediately given me ideas of how it could be used in an adventure or how it could be used in an encounter. And they're really well thought out, very unique, very weird, very strange, and very interesting. And they all look like a lot of fun. Another great part in this book, after the creatures, is we have a characters chapter. So these are some great characters that you could use for an arch nemesis for the PCs. So the ones we have included are an arch nano, a deadly warrior, and a poisoner. And these guys are all really cool, and it's not just a block of stats. It's a fully fleshed out character that you can just plop in your story. Very, very cool stuff. And then finally, we have a section or a chapter of people of renown in the Ninth World, which I'm a huge fan of. And these characters are all super cool as well. And there are even a couple characters that are visitants. So we have examples of the two visitant races that we were given in the core book. We have some example characters for those, which is really awesome. And then finally, there's a creature index where you can look up any creature that's in the core book, the Devil's Fine, the Vortex, or the Bestiary. So I always like to end this segment with a buy or no buy recommendation, just my personal opinion. You already heard what Darcy had to say. She said buy. In fact, Darcy said buy even if you don't play Numenera, because this book is so fucking cool. And I 120% agree with her. This book is awesome. It's worth every penny. And like Darcy said, even if you don't run or play Numenera, it's worth getting just to flip through it and read about the cool creatures. But if you do run or play Numenera, this is a must-have. And another thing to keep in mind is the upcoming Cypher game, The Strange, is using the same game system. And so these creatures will be usable in that game as well as any other Cypher games that Monte Cook Games comes out with in the future. So check it out. Go to your local game shop and flip through a copy and get your copy of The Bestiary today.
Antagonists and protagonists.
I'm digging into my new bestiary for today's antagonists and protagonists. I do still have quite a few creatures on my list for this segment from the core book, but I got the bestiary now, and these creatures are just super cool. And especially for those of you that maybe don't have the bestiary yet, I thought it'd be cool to give you a sample of what you have to look forward to. So this, I haven't gotten through all of the bestiary yet. I'm probably not even halfway through all the creatures, but this guy has already become one of my favorites. It's called a Blood Feast Tick. So let's see, what can we say about the Blood Feast Tick? Tiny blood-sucking insects are common annoyances, as we all know, especially if you are out in the country, in the woods, or in the fields, or in the swamp. Oh God, they're terrible in the swamp. And most are easily handled with a slap, even if a raised itchy welt is left behind. But a blood feast tick is an altogether different class of creature. The blood feast tick comes in two varieties, a regular-sized insect and a scion. The regular tick looks no different than many other small crawling insects. When it drops onto a victim, it usually does so unnoticed, crawls someplace on the skin out of sight, then bites the victim and begins to draw blood. Because a tick's saliva has anesthetic qualities, the bite is less noticeable even than the minor itchy feeling it might have produced when crawling into place. If the victim hosting an insect-sized blood feast tick falls asleep, the tick deepens that sleep with its saliva, then feeds in place for up to 10 hours, leaving the victim a dead, shriveled shell. Meanwhile, the tick's blood reservoir bloats to the size of the dead victim, breaks off, and becomes a free-roaming, free-willed, ravaging monster in its own right, a tick scion. So as far as our stats and combat abilities and whatnot, this is all for the tick scion, which is the big human-sized tick creature. They are pretty nasty. They weigh in at level 6. So you're looking at a base target number of 18 for most things involving these guys. Their motive is one of destruction. They can be found in any tropical or temperate region. We can skip through some of these stats. You guys can look that stuff up. Let's see. They cannot be reasoned with. They live to destroy and to disperse more insect-sized blood feast ticks. After a fight with a tick scion, combatants should check their clothes, skin, and hair for tiny crawling guests. If an insect-sized blood feast drops unseen onto a victim, it is a difficulty 3 intellect-based task to notice the itchy sensation of the tiny insect crawling across her skin. If detected, the insect is easily smashed and the threat ended. But if the victim doesn't notice, the next time she sleeps, that sleep deepens rapidly to coma. If her companions fail to notice the quickly bloating insect sucking her blood and nothing else intervenes before 10 hours has elapsed, the victim dies and the tick scion tears free. If the victim is roused and the bloating tick squished, which splashes ejected blood everywhere, sometime before 10 full hours of exsanguination have elapsed, she is saved but is debilitated for a few days. And as most, if not all, creatures in Numenera, you are given a sample GM intrusion. The tick scion bites a character instead of bashing her, releasing a flood of anesthetic saliva into the wound. The character's leg, arm, or the whole side of her body goes numb for a few minutes. If the numbness affects the character's face, she slurs when she speaks. All physical tasks and attacks are modified by one step to her detriment. And also there is a note here in the margin that few people realize that tick scions and the insect-sized blood feast ticks are related, given the dramatic difference in scale between the two. Once a tick scion is birthed, its parent dies. So this is really cool and kind of means that no one is going to really be able to warn you about these little seemingly harmless ticks. And honestly, I think giving the PCs a difficulty 3 intellect task to notice the tick on them before it bites them is really generous. I've had a tick before in my life, growing up on the farm as I did. And I can tell you that I've had a tick actually bite into me. I've found plenty of ticks on myself in my time, and I never, ever noticed them. The only way I found them was by actually searching myself for ticks. You can't feel them crawling on you. You can't feel them bite you. So you could easily, I suppose, as a GM intrusion, just say that the tick bites the character and they don't even get the difficulty 3 intellect task to detect it. I think that would be more than fair. So these guys are really sweet, more than a bit horrific, and I think they're super cool. And if you encounter one of these in your game, if your GM is evil enough to throw one at you, I think you will have a very interesting gaming session ahead of you.
Into the Strange.
For this week's Into the Strange, I'm going to cover update number 31 of the Strange Kickstarter, which is called A Look at Character Types. So as you probably know by now, just like Numenera, there will be 3 character types in the Strange that you can choose from for your character. And they are roughly analogous to the Glaive, the Jack, and the Nano in Numenera, but they are not exactly the same thing. And so this update goes into a little more detail and tells us more about these character types. So if you would like to check this out for yourself, be sure to go to the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com/GM intrusions and follow the link I'll put there for you and check this out. So the first type in the Strange is called the Vector. And this is what we have about the Vector. The Vector gets things done in the most straightforward way possible. He or she is a very physical character. Vectors are athletic, tough, and fast. They are the best of the 3 types in combat, whether that means laying down suppressive fire with an automatic rifle, leaping into melee with a rapier, piloting a biomechanical winged attack craft, that sounds cool, or bashing hordes of foes with an enormous maul. Vectors can perform physical stunts, feats, and tasks that others can only imagine. They excel in agility, strength, and endurance. A Vector might be smart, but probably doesn't spend a lot of time contemplating or pondering. Instead, Vectors react with honed instincts and reflexes that often save the day. Vector abilities are called moves. To reflect their endurance and health, for example, second-tier Vectors can choose a move called Quick Recovery. And it proceeds to give us the Quick Recovery move. Your second recovery roll, usually requiring 10 minutes, is only a single action, just like the first roll, and this is an enabler. That is pretty freaking sweet. Now, we're obviously going to get many more moves for the Vector once the Strange is out. But, you know, something I'm already thinking is this might be great to mine for more fighting moves for the Glaives out there. Now, there may be some that, because of setting reasons, won't really be appropriate or won't work terribly well. But there will most likely be many, like this quick recovery move, that would work perfectly in Numenera. So that is super cool. And I like that the types in the Strange are different and not exactly the same. And I like that the moves and the abilities are different and not exactly the same as Numenera. Because again, when you put the two games together, you have a lot more options for your characters. So whether you're running a Strange game and you're letting your PCs use certain abilities from Numenera or vice versa, more choices is always good. Not only does it allow a player to better make the exact character that they want, but it also increases variability between the characters so that they're even more unique, which is awesome. And our next type from the Strange is called the Paradox. Paradoxes are the mad scientists, the sorcerers, and those who break the rules of reality. They are not bound by what others believe to be true. Paradoxes derive their abilities from a connection to the Strange, regardless of where they claim their power originates. With those abilities, called revisions, they can break the laws of reality itself in the universe of normal matter and alter the rules of a recursion. Though most paradoxes refer to their special abilities as revisions, some refer to them as knacks, prayers, spells, or psychic gifts. Many paradoxes come from a background that includes extensive training, either scientific, technical, religious, spiritual, or of some other esoteric order. As a result, they also have an aptitude with equipment, paraphernalia, or rituals of that order that may aid them in their pursuits. To break the laws of reality, a paradox must first know and understand them. Fittingly, a first-tier paradox can choose a revision called Exception. So here's Exception. It costs 2 intellect points. You target one creature within long range that you select who is not native to that recursion or prime. If you successfully affect the target, it's unable to act on its next turn. Its senses overwhelmed. Even if your roll fails on its next turn, the target's tasks are modified one step to its detriment. And this is an action. So there is the Paradox and the Vector for the Strange. Very, very cool. I'm very excited to see this game and play this game and check this game out. I'm very jealous of you, those of you out there who are playing the playtest for the Strange. And I'm sure you guys are having a blast.
Inspirations.
I've just got a real short inspiration segment for you today. I've talked about some of these before, but I wanted to just mention a few really good Numenera actual play podcasts that I've found. Whether you're running Numenera or thinking about running Numenera, or maybe you just want to play Numenera and you just aren't getting enough to get your Numenera fix, a great way to solve all those issues is to listen to an actual play podcast. Now, there are lots of actual play podcasts out there. Some of them are better than others. I'm sure there are some that I haven't even found yet. But I found a few really good ones for Numenera. These are all running homebrew adventures, so you don't have to worry about being spoiled if you're planning on playing in one of the published adventures from Monte Cook Games. But you can see Numenera played by different groups, by different GMs, see different styles, see how different people run the game and how different people use the rules. So I find it very entertaining and very educational. So the first podcast I'd like to recommend, which you probably already know about, is called The Ninth World Chronicles. And if you go way back in the GM Intrusions archives, I spoke with the game master for the Ninth World Chronicles, Andrew Cady, and had a nice chat with him on one of the old GM Intrusions episodes. So check that out if you haven't listened to it yet. He runs a really fun, really intriguing campaign. It's been going for quite a while now. He puts new episodes out very regularly. I think it's once a week, and it's really good. And you may recognize a few of his players if you're active on the Ninth World Hub website. And it's a great listen. So check it out. Another one I really like is called the Knights of the Night Actual Play Podcast. Now, the Ninth World Chronicles podcast is exclusively a Numenera podcast. On the other hand, the Knights of the Night podcast, they play a lot of different role-playing games. And what they'll do is they'll do a campaign in a system. So for a block of episodes, they'll be playing a given game. And then they'll wrap up that story and then they'll play another game. Some of the games they've played recently are the Dresden Files, using the Fate system. They've had a New World of Darkness campaign. I believe it's a Hunter's campaign, but I'm not 100% sure about that. And right now they're just wrapping up their Numenera campaign. So this one's kind of nice because you can go and download all the episodes and listen to them all back to back if you want to. It's a lot of content, but it's a really interesting story. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy that podcast. It's very well done. So definitely check them out and definitely check out the other games they've run. You might find some other role-playing games that you like or are interested in. And listening to an actual play is a great way to kind of vet a system you're thinking about getting into and seeing if you're going to like it or not before you take the plunge. The Numenera episodes of Knights of the Night are episodes 147 to 164. And the third and final podcast I'm going to recommend in this episode is called The Rusak Gamers. And like Knights of the Night, they have played a variety of different role-playing games, but they did play Numenera on episodes 121 to 131, and they have a lot of fun with it, so definitely check them out. It's a great podcast, too. So I will have links to all of these podcasts in the show notes, so go check them out if you're into that kind of thing. And if you've never listened to an actual play podcast before, check it out. You might like it. I know personally, I'd heard of actual play podcasts before. Actually, I guess I'd listened to one or two Pathfinder ones, just a couple episodes, and just couldn't really get into it. There are definitely ones out there that aren't terribly well done, just because there's a lot of you know, people go off topic and start talking about things that have nothing to do with the game, and it doesn't get edited out. And, you know, some of them don't necessarily have the best sound quality or whatever. But these three podcasts I've recommended here are all top notch and definitely worth, checking out for your first, actual play podcast. So check them out. I think you'll be glad that you did.
GM Intrusions wrap up.
All right, guys, we've reached the wrap-up of episode 15. Thanks for coming along on this voyage through the Cypher system. If you would like to contact me, you can email me at lexstarwalker@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at lexstarwalker. And please, you know, get a hold of me if you have a question, you got a comment, a suggestion for a show. I also take suggestions for creatures that you'd like me to cover on, I almost said anatomy and physiology, on antagonists and protagonists. And you could also, if you'd like, send me a wave or MP3 if you'd like to to take a shot at producing some content yourself. I've already gotten an email from a gentleman who's thinking of taking me up on that. So I'm really excited to see what he comes up with. My favorite part of podcasting is interacting with all of you out in the Cypher community. That is just hands down the best part of doing this podcast. So don't be shy. Look me up. I'm happy to talk to you. I'm happy to hear from you. I'm happy to hear any feedback you have, whether it's something you like about the show, something you don't like about the show. I'm happy to hear it. And the more feedback I get, the better I can make the show and the more I can make it what you want it to be. And I just want to thank all of you for being so just super awesome. This is a great community that we have here, and I think we should all take a second and just pat ourselves on the back and pat each other on the back for just being such great people. You know, it seems kind of rare to find an online community made up of decent people who treat each other well and can share ideas in a creative and respectful way. And I'm just really thankful for all of you in the Numenera and the Strange communities. You're great. And it's been a great experience getting to know those of you I've gotten to know, and I'm looking forward to getting to know more of you. Another thing, this is really exciting. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of details right now, but there are some exciting changes coming to GM Intrusions. This podcast has been going strong for 15 episodes now. It has just flown by. It looks like this podcast is going to have a lot longer legs than I ever thought it would. I'll be honest. When I first started it, I didn't think it'd make it this far. I thought I would have ran out of things to talk about a long time ago, but Monty Cook Games just keeps cranking out products, which gives me plenty of things to talk about. There is so much going on in the community, which gives me plenty to talk about. And, I've been getting, some great, interesting and intelligent people on the show. So it's not just me yammering all the time, which I did not expect in the beginning. So I have decided that I'm going to scale things up and I'm going to make this show even better than it has been up to this point. I haven't figured everything out yet, so I don't have any really concrete details for you guys today, but I am working very hard to make some changes. Nothing's going away. Nothing's getting cut, but I am going to try and expand the show and do more with it and make it even better. So this is your chance to have a voice. So if you have any suggestions or ideas of new directions I could take this show or new things I could do with it, let me know, because I am in the brainstorming stage right now. I'm just throwing paint on the wall and seeing what sticks. And so there are no bad ideas at this point. And the more ideas I have up on my whiteboard, the better the final cut will be. I am certain. So here are some things that I can tell you guys about. I have some really exciting interviews coming up for you. First of all, Darcy Ross is going to return to the show. We are going to talk about some things. We are going to talk about one or more of the published adventures for Numenera and some other things. We're still hashing out exactly what all we're going to do. Hopefully she's going to be on again more than once, because we both got a lot of ideas of things we'd like to talk about. I'm also have an interview coming with Shauna Germain, which is awesome. I'm super excited for that, as I'm sure you are. So it will be very cool to talk with her on the show. We're going to be talking about her role at Monty Cook Games as writer and editor. And I'm super excited to talk with her. And another gentleman, or well, I guess the first gentleman I'm talking about that's going to be on the show is James Walls, that you guys may recognize if you're active on the Ninth World Hub community. He's been doing some really cool things running Numenera for children. And so he's going to come on and we're going to talk about that. He's got some really great ideas on running Numenera for children as well as running Numenera for adults. So he's going to be on the show in a future episode and we're going to talk about that. And this might be the part I'm most excited about. Somehow he worked some dark magic and got his wife to play Numenera. His wife, who was not, from my understanding, wasn't really a gamer, is playing Numenera now. So I'm going to be taking notes myself on that part of the interview because I haven't been able to get my wife to play more than a one shot. Unfortunately, it's just not her thing, which is cool. But maybe Jim can give me some pointers and tell me his dark secrets of how he got this done. Hopefully it doesn't involve me having kids. All right. Let me see. So yes, if you have anything to say about Numenera or The Strange, let me know. If you have any suggestions or comments or anything or ideas for the show, let me know. Let me know. I've got so many cool things on the horizon, so many cool ideas. I think you guys are really going to like it. And I think we're going to take this to the next level. You're either growing or dying, right? So we're going to be growing. One more thing. I forgot to do this last episode. I was kicking myself for the last 2 weeks. I want to give a huge thank you to Dr. Scott Robinson for his wonderful 5-star review on iTunes. Scott was on a few episodes ago. He's one of the wonderful people I've interviewed on the show, and he had a lot of really cool things to say about the podcast on iTunes. I really appreciate that, Scott. It's the show's first review. So one way that you can help the show out is to go on iTunes and leave a review. It helps make the podcast more visible on the iStore when people are looking for Numenera podcasts so that they can find this podcast and join us in our conversation. And if you are super cool, like Scott, and you leave a 5-star review, I will thank you on the show as well, because that's totally awesome. All right. So it is finally time for the intrusion of the week. Please feel free to send me intrusions. I was getting quite a few of them for a while and it's kind of tapered off. I'd love to see more intrusions from you guys, whether it's an intrusion you've actually used in game or just one that you've thought up. That would be super cool. I'm sure if I'm doing all the intrusions, they're going to get kind of stale after a while. So, continuing my tradition, can it be a tradition if you've only done it once? Nah, why not? Continuing my tradition, I have decided for my intrusion this week that I'm going to do an intrusion involving my creature of the week from Antagonist and Protagonist. So this is an intrusion involving the Blood Feast Scion. So here's my idea. I'm just going to throw this out there. This was the first idea that jumped into my head when I first read about the Blood Feast tick. Is I thought a really great way to introduce this creature to a group of players is to have an NPC that the players have grown to know and like over past however many sessions, have that NPC get infected with a Blood Feast tick. The PCs are there to witness the tick scion bursting from the human-sized blood sac of the tick. The tick scion steps over the desiccated corpse of the PC's now dead friend to attack them. So here is a GM intrusion. The PCs are so shocked by this that they are surprised. Roll initiative as you normally would. However, each PC who accepts the intrusion can take no action except defense rolls in the first round as she picks her jaw up off the ground, figuratively speaking. Since this is a group intrusion, each character that accepts it receives one XP. They don't get an additional XP to give away. Refusing the GM intrusion costs one XP as normal. And this reminds me, I talked way back in an early episode. I came up with what I thought were some kind of cool variations of the GM intrusion. And one of them that I thought I came up with was the group intrusion. But it turns out Monty Cook beat me to it. It was already in the Numenera book. It was just in a section that I hadn't read closely enough. So you can check that out on page 328 of the Numenera core book. It talks about the group intrusion pretty much as I talked about it. But I just want to give credit where credit is due. Even though I had not read that when I came up with the idea, Monty Cook came up with it first. So it was his idea. So awesome on you, Monty Cook Games. Very cool. All right, guys. I am Lex Starwalker. Thank you so much for listening and sticking with the podcast. This has been a GM Intrusion.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality science fiction and fantasy podcasts.
This episode's music provided by Ish, Cloudwalker, Renfield, and Transboy. Please see the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com.
I'm awesome!